kind of weather. It's actually quite good weather to wrap up and get a good book, isn't it? But it makes me think, what's your favourite sports books? Perhaps it's The Football Man by Arthur Hopcroft, written in the late 1960s, but still recognised as one of the most definitive works on the sport. Maybe it's Boys in the Boat, about the USA men's rowing team that competed in the 1936 Olympics in Germany in the middle of the Nazi regime. That was made into a film recently by George Clooney. Well, you may have a new favourite coming soon. It's Never Never Land, a lifetime love affair with Southend United. It's been written by David Williams, who lived in Essex for 40 years and followed the club before moving to Australia, and he shares his memories of following the Shrimpers over the years. And I caught up with him earlier today. It's 11 o'clock at night in Queensland right now, so didn't want to keep him up. So we caught up earlier today, and I started by asking David what inspired him to put pen to paper.
This goes back a few years. My wife Kim and I, we were watching Southend United playing Sunderland in the final match of the 2019 season. And the funny thing about it was that we were actually sitting down watching it in Australia on cable TV in the early hours of the morning. And it was a pretty painful experience, most of it. And with 3 minutes to go, it was Southend 1, Sunderland 1. And if it stayed like that, we were going down. We were going down to League 2. And then the guy called Stephen Humphreys, who I'd never seen before, he gets hold of the ball, he drags the defence one way, then the other way, he nutmegs the goalkeeper, and the ball ends up in the net at the south stand. And Ruth Hall went bonkers, and so did we. And I thought, it's an inspiration. I've got to do it. So that's what made me do it.
In terms of the name, Never Never Land, where does that one come from?
When I was a kid, my favourite part of the old Southend illuminations was an area called Never Neverland, just below Royal Terrace and just above the pier. And what it was a sort of like a fairy tale model village. And it had little skinny castles with little peaks of them perched on rocks. And it had waterfalls, it had lakes, it had little bits of rivers. And it had a model railway, the best one I've ever seen in my life, running around the whole thing. And it was all lit up in the summer. And from where I was at Never Neverland, you could see the pier at one side, and then you could look to your left, and you could see the Golden Mile at Marine Parade just down the road. And I thought it was totally magical. So Never Neverland always resonates with me as far as Southend on Sea is concerned. And then I thought about it in the context of the book, and I thought, okay, what have Southend done? We've never been in the First Division. We've never been in the Premier League. We never won the FA Cup. We never won the League Cup. We've never been in a European competition. And I thought, okay, Never Never Land the town, Never Never Land the club. It just seemed to work for me.
So you mentioned the idea for the book came in 2019. Talk to me about the writing process with this one, because it's come out this year, 2025, about 6 years later, and I know you had a bit of support as well on the way.
Yeah, that's right. So I actually got a mentor, and his name's Malcolm Knox. He's a sports journalist, but he's also a con writer for the Sydney Morning Herald, which is probably the biggest newspaper in Australia. And he knows loads about sport. He knows loads about writing non-fiction because he's got a few published works in fiction and non-fiction. And I managed to get into it because he knew a bit about English football, but not that much. And he certainly didn't know all that much about a club like Southend United in the bottom two divisions of the Football League. So I got into it and he got into it as well. So we had a lot of fun with it. And to be honest, I'd actually written it in about 2 years. And just when I thought it was time to put the pen down, then all the High Court stuff and the winding up orders came up and Ron Martin putting the club up for sale. So I couldn't actually finish it. So the only time that I put the pen down for the last time was 12th of August last year, when the sale of the club finally got settled and the National League pulled the £1 million bond request. And I thought, okay, that's it. Now I'm done. So I finished it on the 12th of August. On the 15th of August, I started putting it out to potential publishers. And here we are.
Indeed, here we are today. I've seen a copy of the book. I've had it in my hands. I've read it through. It's really interesting stuff from David. And certainly quite a point to decide to start writing the book as well. We'll be getting more into this tome after this from Ed Sheeran.
Your glow.
BBC.
BBC.
17 minutes past two here on your summer Saturday. My big guest today is David Williams, writer of the new book, Never Neverland, A Lifetime Love Affair with Southend United. As I mentioned, I've been lucky enough to get hold of an early copy and I've given it a read. And for me, it's a book which really brings to life Southend's key moments in their history. You're seeing the trials and tribulations through the vivid, colourful and descriptive eyes of a fan. But I was caught off guard because the first match doesn't involve Southend United at all, but Premier League champions of Liverpool. So I had to ask David why this is.
When I was born, the family was living in Liverpool and my dad was a Liverpool nutcase. And then we moved down south when I was only 2 years old. The family used to go back up north to see relations every Easter holiday. So the first match that I ever actually saw was Liverpool against Stoke City in 1962. So my early experiences were all in Liverpool. And then as I was getting older, I thought, oh, hold on, there's a club two bus rides away from me called Southend United, and they're in the Football League as well. So I started to get into that, and then I started buzzing Dad, and I said, come on, you've got to take me to Roots Hall. Eventually, he conceded, and we rocked up to Southend against Colchester in November 1964, and that was my first match. I'd been to Anfield, I'd been to Goodison Park, I'd been in a crowd of 70,000 at Goodison, so When you go to Roots Hall and you see a crowd of less than 7,000, it's a bit of a poser, you know. But I just found Roots Hall really comfortable, a really nice place to be. And they still had a brass band in those days, so it was a lot of fun. So I was getting into it even before the match started. And, of course, Southend won 6-3. If that doesn't make you a lifelong supporter, what does?
I think what's great about this book as well is you kind of have a combination of having these vivid descriptions of the matches that you see and the atmosphere. Of course, we have archives of like the scores and stuff, but you go beyond that and you also sort of put it in the context of what else is happening in football with your second team, Manchester United, as well. But when it came to recalling those games, was it quite easy for you to do that?
Yes, it was. It's a strange thing I've got. I don't know how many gifts I've got, but a photographic memory is one of them. So I can remember a lot of these matches as if they were yesterday.
You mentioned, of course, a lot of matches here, a lot of players as well. You mentioned Paul Clark, of course, a summariser for us here on BBC Essex Sport comes up. You described him, a great quote here, a fixer-upper of other people's messes. So I have to ask you, your favourite player that you've seen for Southend United?
I'm going to be biased because but much as I love Paul Clark, I do favour forwards, strikers, because I used to be one, pretty bad one, but I was. So the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to do a gold, silver, bronze on this one. So this is going over a lot of years. So bronze goes to Freddie Eastwood, and a lot of people will go, what? And the reason why is Freddie Eastwood getting bronze for me is because I only actually saw him live about five or six times. And then I saw him live on TV over in Australia about five or six times as well. So although he scored the goal against Manchester United, yeah, and he's a legend, and not very long ago, it's just that I didn't see him so much. So I gave the silver to Stan Collymore. In my opinion, he basically saved Southend from getting relegated from the old second division almost single-handedly in 1993. And I saw pretty much every home match that he played at Roots Hall and a few away matches as well. So as far as I'm concerned, he was a legend to me because of that. And, of course, he's still involved with the club and has been for years. And that makes it even more fun. But the gold, I'm afraid, is going to go to Billy Best, whose shirt I'm wearing a Billy Best replica shirt as we speak. He was there six seasons. And I evolved from being a snotty-nosed school kid to a stroppy student. And he was there all that time. He scored 123 goals in 246. And he just never stopped scoring. It was quite amazing to watch. So he gets the gold. I'm just going to do an honourable mention to Richard Cadet, because in the book, and this is true, back in 1985, Richard Cadet's his first game for Southend, he scored four goals to beat the Orient, And I'd given up on the club, and just that one match got me back loving South End again. So Cadet basically brought the love back and nearly lost it.
I'll tell you what, it's quite a five-a-side team, that one. If you put all those together, it'd be really strong stuff. Brilliant. Well, even if the sun's not shining out there, I can just visualise it now with that song playing. Summer Breeze, Isley Brothers, 25 past two here on BBC Essex. Warren Muggleton with you for your summer Saturday. It's been great speaking to David Williams, author of the new book, Never Never Land, A Lifetime Love Affair with Southend United. All about how he put it together, his stories and highlights from following the Shrimpers. Now, the book ends with the takeover of the consortium, which, believe it or not, was a year ago today. Can you believe that? So much has happened with the Shrimpers since then. So I asked David, who's in Queensland, Australia, what a chapter about the 2024-25 season would look like and his hopes for the new campaign.
Funny you should say that. I've actually drafted one, which I'm going to might share with my publisher sometime, just in case there's a reprint opportunity or whatever, whatever. And I basically mainlined it on the playoffs, because over here it's difficult to get anything more than a couple of minutes on YouTube to see what's actually going on during the season. And it was funny last season because we started off, you know, with loads of optimism, but the season took a while to get going, didn't it? It wasn't until November that we started stringing some results together. And then all of a sudden you're in February 2025 and you're going, oh, how many points are we off the playoff positions? And so you get through to the end of the season and then it's a do or die against Gateshead. And you're thinking, we've had two previous seasons where we just failed to make the playoffs, and all we've got to do is get a result, and we're in the playoffs. And blow me, we're in the playoffs. And then we get a result against Rochdale, which I wasn't expecting. And then we got a result against Forest Green, which I was expecting. And then all of a sudden, we're in Wembley in the playoff final in front of 52,000 people. And we're watching it live in the early hours of the morning via a streaming service, yeah? And in the meantime, I've got your commentary on the laptop just in case. And it was almost a surreal experience. You know, in the middle of a dark winter's night in Australia, watching the drama play out, yeah? And in the end, it was very painful, but it was an amazing experience. And I'm going to be strictly fair here. I actually do think Oldham just about deserved it on the day. I thought they just about deserved it, but it was still a real shame anyway. So as far as this season's concerned, I'm even more optimistic than I was this time last year. And I like the players that we've got. I mean, Ben Goodliff, I'm glad we got him permanent because I thought he was awesome last year. I like the look of Harry Boys. I like Sam Austin. I hope we do finally sign up Macaulay Bond because I thought he was great. I do think we need a proven striker up front. And Slavy Spazov, I hope, will be the guy that does it because I thought we were a bit short of goals last season. I think we relied on Gus Scott-Morris too much. I do hope we keep him. I would be absolutely gutted if he left, but I'm hoping he won't. So my hopes are high this season, even though Carlisle United went down. They're going to be big rivals, in my views. York City, I think they'll be the big rivals, same as last season. Ouch. Scunthorpe United are back. They stand up with Hull City and Grimsby Town as my all-time bogey teams. So every time I look at Scunthorpe United, I go, oh, my God, what are they going to do to us this year? But I'm hoping that we'll do them instead, which would be very nice.
So plenty of confidence then from David Williams about the new season. Great to chat to him about his new book, Never Never Land, A Lifetime Love Affair with Southend United. A real look at the history of the Shrimpers through the eyes of a fan who lived in Essex for 40 years before heading to Australia. The book is available to buy online and it will be launched in the High Street soon. So keep an eye out for that one. It's coming up to 2:30.